living water.
Yes.
And this is said about the Spirit,
yes,
which would be given to people once he'd been glorified, and then Pentecost happens.
Yes.
So the key to it is what the Pharisees failed to do was to admit their need. And some did, of course. But tonight, it's just admitting our need. We need, you know, the prayer team, people saying, I'm tired. And we're human and fallible. And to remind you, too, that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed.
Yes.
I think it's Luke 5 and verse 16.
Yes.
Because in his humanity, he is God. Mm-hmm. He's the Son of God.
Yes.
But in his humanity, he recognized his need for that constant, regular refreshing in the presence of Father God, who is this amazing love to us, unfailing love. And so Jesus, in those quiet times of the Father, and you see that relationship of intimacy in the book of John particularly, how he would just come and just and offload the day, whatever it was, in terms of that exchange of fellowship. And in Luke 11, it was while Jesus was praying, and the disciples must have heard him praying, Abba, Father. It must have been amazing to see Jesus praying. It was then they said, when he'd finished, teach us to pray. We want some of that. We want to know how you pray. Teach us. And then the Lord's Prayer came out of that in Luke 11. And the need for perseverance. And how much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He's a good Father. So we're going to be looking at a verse that Stephen's already mentioned today, which had already come to mind in preparing for this about a month or two ago. And it's the word from Isaiah. Isaiah 40, about renewing our strength. And this is a tremendously important need for us to admit to, Lord, renew my strength. Because we need it. Yesterday's anointing won't do for tomorrow. The air you breathed yesterday will not help you tomorrow unless you've stopped breathing. So it's learning that we need that daily ongoing dependency on the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Remember in 2 Corinthians 3, Paul says, the Lord is the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is freedom. So tonight I'm going to be honest from the word go. By the time we conclude, I'd like to have a time to invite all of you to say, Lord, please fill me afresh because I need that. And we do. And the other thing I want to say, just by, we can work through the analogy very simply, is that your life as a Christian, you'll find times when you hit saturation point in your relationship with the Lord. Okay? And you'll need to ask the Lord for a new wineskin. So I'm trying to get to the point because we need to finish quick. And that the wineskins apparently, you know, the new wine is for new wineskins. Apparently before the wine that started off is fully mature, it had to go through 7 different wineskins. They're animal skins that are sewn together. New wine is ferments a lot. And then the first one hardens in time. And it has to be moved to another one, otherwise it bursts. A new one is flexible, it can expand, and then so on and so on and so on about 7 times before it's mature. And there's an analogy there to our Christian lives. At a saturation point, you come to say to the Lord and say, Lord, please, I need a new wineskin. I need a new capacity, an enlarged capacity to know you. And whatever point you've come to at your Christian life to date, you will need a new capacity to know the Lord if you're going to be growing. You don't want to plateau out and just stop and take your foot off the accelerator pedal of faith and knowing the Lord. And tonight we need to come and ask the Lord, all of us, me too, please give me, Lord, create in me a new capacity to know you. Because in the end it's his Holy Spirit who forms in us the ability to know him. We're just flesh, his spirit. We can't create in ourselves the capacity to know the Lord. That's the work of the Spirit of God. So please move in me, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit to enable functionality, relationship, everything. So here am I, Lord.
Yes.
And whom, as in the upper room, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. How much we need that now presence of the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay?
Yeah.
Remember, we're being renewed in capacity to know this amazing love and grace and gentleness. Amen, hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen, hallelujah. What does this mean for me? Oh, panic. Don't panic, Mr. Manning. Actually, the truth is, We can't not ask the question. Is there a sheep? We chomp through a field, we've exhausted the grass in that one, there's a gate into the next field, and we're all saying, come on, here's the gate. Inviting us to deeper, more. But you come to the point, you say, I can't not ask. Because not to ask is not to have a growing relationship with Jesus. And he will bring us to the point where we choose that, because we see it as a no-brainer not to. Okay? Some of you are looking at, you're thinking about that. But actually, we are safer under the aegis, in the hands of the wonderful Lord who forms us, who began a good work in you, will complete it. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he's prepared beforehand. And he wants to grow us. Praise God. So, in the time of worship afterwards, there's an opportunity. Lord, please refresh me, renew me. He restores my soul. Praise God. That word restore is also in 1 Peter 5, verse 10 and 11. After you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, you're breathing in grace, all grace, will him, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. You, come on. Come to my eternal glory. That's what he's saying. He's calling. You didn't choose me, I chose you. He says, come on. My eternal glory in Christ. Who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. After you've suffered a little while, will himself, personally, Father in heaven, restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Strong, firm, steadfast. Strong, firm, steadfast is durability. And the word for restore, namesake Peter, is a fishing term. It comes from the Gospels. He'll mend your nets. That's good, isn't it? He restores the fabric of your personality. And your whole physiology and who you are as a person are interlinked. If you physically get tired, that affects your functionality as a person. So, Lord, restore my soul, the whole lot. I feel a lot better for a sleep this afternoon. So, praise God, common sense said, have a kip. Not to want to not be with everybody, because I'd love to have done that. I just needed to rest. Nice to know common sense is possible. So, with that in mind, we need to be open to this wonderful illustration of the eagle rising up. We'll read the scripture. Because you see in there are four promises, will. They that wait or hope in the Lord will. We're going to look at those, a lot of those four doing words, four action words, verbs. And so that's very important to meditate on that tonight and use the analogy, admitting our need. We need to breathe. Anybody here not need to breathe? If you need to breathe, stay sitting down. Oh, look at that. That's amazing. That was an instant response. There we go. So let's look up in Isaiah, please. Bearing in mind, just remember in terms of the power of the Holy Spirit, think of Jesus when he was baptized. When you were baptized, you yielded yourself and you were immersed. And that's a key to being filled with the Spirit, that yieldedness and submission. And as Jesus was praying, what happened in Luke 3? Heaven was opened. As we pray, heaven opens. Father speaks. This is my Son, whom I love. With you, I'm well pleased. Father says, Jesus is the Son of God. He says, hey, you're my child. I love you as I love my Son, Jesus. You know, when we're baptized, of course, he's pleased with that because of being obedient and following Jesus. He's really pleased. And the second thing that happens is the Holy Spirit comes like a dove. Father speaks. Spirit comes like a dove, not a vulture. Mm-hmm. There's a point there. Mm-hmm. Peaceful, gentle, pure. And the Spirit of God comes upon the Lamb of God. So there's an indication there for us as we yield in that meekness and submission to the will of God. The Spirit of God comes on little lamb sheep. Okay? Very important, that disposition is if we're sort of, I don't know. It doesn't happen, but we need to be yielded and admitting the need, Lord, I need you today. I yield to you, and the flow begins. So Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, his baptism in Luke. Then he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He came out of that testing time in the power of the Spirit. We need filling of the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. We need to be led by the Spirit daily. And through the times of testing, we come out with a greater understanding of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Yes.
Okay, it's a process like that. The Lord's our model. Often withdrew to lonely places and prayed to draw down from Father in heaven that enabling he needed for his functionality in ministry in his manhood. Okay, so he's a model. The answer to this next question is good. Yes? You're okay with that then?
Yes.
Good. And Jesus says, follow me. So he knew his need and his humanity, how much more we need to know and walk in the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit to us, to each one. Amazing. You know, the Holy Spirit in creation, you know, the word of Father speaks, the word, whom the Spirit forms everything we've seen. That is just an astonishing person to know. Wonderful character. Beautiful character. It's character and nature of God himself, of course, because he's God the Holy Spirit. So let's look at Isaiah 40, verse 11. First, shall we read that together? It's a reminder again how the Lord, he knows your heart, he knows your fragility. There's times we say, help, Lord, I've had it. We just recently had a speaker in Rushton who's a retired major general who led the British forces into Iraq, Tim Cross, a very strong Christian guy. And as he was standing there with his battalion of 30,000 men and women, he remembered Joshua at Jericho and how Joshua met with the angel of the Lord. It must have been in some way the Lord Jesus himself, the commander of the army of heaven. And Joshua had to, first thing was, take off your shoes, it's holy ground. And he got the most bizarre battle plan you've ever heard. Okay, walk around the city X times and so on. But the point, and Tim realized it, that in this situation, I'm under authority. Lord, I need you. In my capacity, knowing you as a Christian, there is a very strong Christian man, very respected by the men, to help me in this. So here we are. Help me. Okay? So in the battle, we need his help.
Yes.
Amazing, amazing. If you ever get him as a speaker, Tim Cross is a very, very good man's man, obviously. Very respected. Advisor to the House of Commons Defence Committee for 7 years. Amazing guy. So a lovely believer in Jesus. So he carries them close to his heart. Let's read verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd, gathers the lambs in his arms, carries them close to his heart, gently leads those that have young, the lambs. The Spirit of God comes upon the lambs of God, if you like. Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
So Jesus holds us in his arms and endows the dove, the gentle, gracious, renewing peace, the Spirit of God. And then moving on, I've got to not rush through this so quickly. I'm not being peaceful about it. That would be a bit of a...
Yeah.
So whatever. So in verse 27, let's read. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. There's four wills there, and we'll look at those. Those who hope in the Lord might renew their strength. I'm just testing to see if you've read what you just read. They might. And just by way of being a doctor to yourself spiritually, it does say this time, have you ever felt downcast? When you're physically tired, you're more vulnerable to negative thoughts about all sorts of things because your cope mechanism is affected. Your immune system runs down, and so what one day could be a doddle, another day lifting that, it just seems too big a mountain to me. What will help here is Psalm 42 and 3. It says, ask the question, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. So you're acknowledging honesty. I do feel tired. I feel downcast. This has all got to me. The remedy there is what you need to do is put your hope in God.
Yes.
And that's throughout the Psalms. You know, Psalm 130, out of the depths I cry to thee, O Lord, hear my voice, hear my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who would stand? But with you there's forgiveness. Therefore you are feared or revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word, which doesn't change, is a plumb line, in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. You're waiting for the dawn to rise. Your eyes are glued on the dawn. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. And then it says, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. Yahweh. Capitals in our Bibles. For with the Lord is unfailing love. With him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Of course, now we know Jesus has come and done that amazing work on the cross. Unfailing love. 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. We're like ants trying to drink the sea, brothers and sisters. It is never exhausted, and it never fails, it never loses. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. Not sometimes, always. 2 Corinthians 2:14, I said that for those listening on the internet. 2 Corinthians 2:14, wonderful verse to eat, figuratively. Right. So the word here to those who hope in the Lord, and we sing that song, don't we? In Christ alone, my hope is found. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And there's a lot in that. But the word there to hope for the Lord, hope in the Lord, can also mean to wait for the Lord. And to wait, it means to wait or to hope or to look for or to expect, like that bus we're waiting for this morning. You know, you wait for a train to come, you wait with expectation. Psalm 68:17. In the morning I lay my request before the Lord, you are Lord, and I wait in expectation for him to do nothing or to do something about them. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. In fact, it says before that, praise be to the Lord, to God our Saviour, who daily bears our burdens. That's all in there as well. Lay my requests before you. I think it's 68:17. Anyway, you can concordance it out. So you're waiting, you're looking, waiting for the Lord. To wait for the Lord is to wait for his time. Isn't that hard? Give me patience quickly. In our manufacturing society, we can control the process or the office systems. Farmers can't, they're much more dependent and learn to go with the flow of how the creation works. So to wait for the Lord is to wait for his time and to accept his time and to trust in his wisdom that he knows what to do, when to do it, and is actually very good at knowing everything. We know. I don't know, but I know someone who does. And we can trust that in due time, he will let you know what it is on a need-to-know basis when you need to know it. So you're waiting on the Lord. It could be a word, an answer to prayer, but you keep waiting, looking, trusting that that will come because he's faithful to you. And it's to trust and accept as we wait on the Lord and begin to rise up to trust in his power to sustain us. We all have to do this. And hope is a strong word. It means it's patient, it's confident, it's buoyant, it's focused on the giver, not on our own abilities, and is all in the character and person of God. Now, the promise is then, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Now, four verbs here. One is renew their strength. And the Hebrew word has sort of got a meaning of exchange their strength. Exchange. And we can see on the cross the exchange where the Lord took our sins and takes that and buries it, and he imputes to us his good enoughness. It's an exchange where he's taken all that stuff and he gives. And the Holy Spirit works in that exchange. And the word is also in there. It's a sort of unusual word. It means entwined, like when cables in a rope are entwined together. The more there are together, the stronger the rope. And they'll be bound together, and in that closeness, there's the exchange of strength and transfer of energy. So you're waiting on the Lord, you're looking for the Lord, and that eagle there, amazing creatures, beautiful, majestic birds. There he is. He's sitting up on his eyrie, up in a tree somewhere or on a craggy rock, and he's sitting there in the morning. And he's just sitting there. So the first thing is, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. He's looking out, surveying the land, and he's waiting for the wind to rise. Now, he's got a choice. He could either wait for the wind to rise, or he could walk down the hill or the cliff and go and try and catch something like an osprey by chucking a fishing line in and getting a fish out. I'd suggest for us, it's better to wait on the Lord for him to rise us up than try and do it manually. So the bird is sitting there waiting for, and the wind of the Spirit is the analogy, the wind of the Holy Spirit is our analogy today, the air we breathe, waiting, waiting, watching, preening its feathers, and not doing nothing. But if you think about it, while the bird is waiting, it's actually breathing in the very stuff that is waiting to see move. He's waiting for the air to move, but actually while he's waiting, he's breathing in the very substance that he's looking to see move out there. So while you're waiting on the Lord, he's actually with you now. You're breathing him in. You're oxygenating. All these verbs we're going to look at have got that in common. It's to do with breathing and oxygenation and action. So the bird is sitting there and waiting. Ah, waiting for the gentle breeze of Jesus. Waiting for the Holy Spirit to move. Spirit of God, love, joy, peace. Ah, breathing in the love of God. In your presence is the fullness of joy. The peace of God that passes understanding. Perfect patience. Ah, perfect kindness. Ah, goodness restores my soul. His faithfulness and love to me, a fallible human being. His gentleness, so tender. His self-control in how he goes about marshalling his great power in the most tender, delicate way to wipe away the tears from my eyes and restore my soul. Unfailing love. Lavish grace, Spirit of grace. The Spirit of glory, we're breathing in God himself, in Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'll have some of that. He carries the lambs in his arms, that tenderness of embrace. The prodigal's father who runs to embrace. We're breathing in the Lord himself. We're not doing nothing. We're being oxygenated in the power of the Holy Spirit every morning, really. When you wake up and you find yourself breathing, remember the analogy. Breathing in perfect kindness. Heaven. I am with you always. Yes. There is no place you can go where he is not with you.
Amen.
every room in your house, every bus or transport you sort of everywhere. Ah, that's wonderful, isn't it?
Yes.
And the bird's watching, and then when the wind moves, that gentle breeze of Jesus, he has to trust and step off that ledge, stick his wings out, and let the wind do the rest. He has to trust the wind to hold up the weight of his entire being. Now, years ago, when Jean and I lived in Guernsey, we had, it's amazing how we came about, the connection with a Pentecostal church in Elbląg, which is up near the Russian border in Poland, top right-hand corner. And it was in the days when it was still a communist country, and a friend of ours had a friend whose company, he had his own little aeroplane, private aeroplane, four-seater, and he flew us from Guernsey to Gdansk, all the Glasnost stuff, you know, and solidarity stuff. And that in itself was an experience. But go in this little plane, it only does 120 miles an hour. So flying over Holland into a headwind of 70 miles an hour, you're only gaining 50 miles an hour, and the cars on the motorway underneath you are going faster than you are, right? Okay. Now that, I tell you, is an experience. We've got loads of experience. We land in Gdansk Airport, it's a military airport, and there's all these jets and everything there. A squad of soldiers, communist soldiers, meets you on the tarmac, give them a few dollars to look after the plane, and you're through. Okay, so. But when you're up there in this plane, you're sitting on nothing. You look out, there's nothing underneath you except the plane. And air is a funny thing. You can't see it. But if you go like that, you can feel it. There's a substance there. There's substance. You can't see it. But because it's substance, the plane floats on it. It's an amazing phenomenon. The bird just, it's not nothing. It's not on nothing. So when the bird steps out, it's floating on substance. And then the little ones are the eagle stirs up the nest, and it's there in Deuteronomy, the Lord stirs up the nest to push the birds out. Now you've got to be a fledgling, and these birds sort of look, and there have been programs on TV, you watch the dog looking at them, don't know about that. And there's a little leg goes up, and like and off it goes. But the bird has to learn to trust in the buoyancy, the way air works, to keep it up. And we need to learn to trust in the power and presence of God the Holy Spirit to keep us up. He's with us in these, say you've got a board meeting or something, Lord, you are with me. I trust you to enable my functionality in these relationships to be able to get through. To give me the wisdom I need as a gift of the Holy Spirit. To give me the insight I need, gift of the Holy Spirit. To give me the discernment I need, gift of the Holy Spirit. We need the giftings to enable practical functionality as well as that presence of person in our temperament. We need to be loving. So it's trusting then the Lord knows whatever's on your plate tomorrow. Lord, by your Spirit, I trust you please to enable me to navigate my way through the lot which I'm going to surrender to you tonight. And when I get up in the morning, I'm going to look to you and trust, yield like that little lamb, Spirit of God coming up, to fill me with your Spirit for today, to chart me through today. It's a partnership. It's you and me again, Lord. That's great, isn't it? Here we go again, Lord. It's you and me going through what seems difficult to us. But it's amazing how he navigates through.
Yeah.
Okay? Start, Lord, I've had it. I need your help. So that little bird has to learn to flap. Now, when it gets goes, you see it on the films, it comes flying off the top, and sometimes it can't do it, but then the parent bird's already soaring round, and it will come down, if a little one isn't going to make it, and comes down and goes underneath it and scoops it up on the top of its wings. Again and again and again. And in our Heavenly Father, we have one who has unlimited patience, Paul says in 1 or 2 Timothy. And he will teach us again and again and again and again and again how to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's really good like that. And at the end of the day, you can think, what can I learn from today? I think next time I'm going to do it like that, Lord. The L plates are on. It's in my bag. It's just too small, that L plate. So that's how it works, brothers and sisters. Admitting the need and then stepping out. The Lord will renew your strength. And secondly, you will soar in wings like eagles. You rise up. Okay. Now, in this process, breathing in. It's not a good idea to be grieving the Holy Spirit. Which is why we've had this series of sharing times. It's so important that we, Lord, forgive me. I so need you. Forgive me my insensitivities. Of course he does. Teach me. Now, there's a wonderful thing about breathing. One is it keeps you alive. Did you know that? I just thought we'd state the obvious, eh? But blood cells are, I'm told, they're in the shape of a figure eight and with the ends cut off. So there's a caliper that side and a caliper that side. And what it does, each blood cell, as it comes through the lungs, it takes an oxygen in from one side and it deposits a carbon dioxide from the other. So the blood cells are going around the body, distributing oxygen and picking up carbon dioxide, get to the lungs, the carbon dioxide, CO2, is discharged, and the O2, the oxygen, is infused. And that is going on all the time. That is amazing description of the power of the blood of Jesus to bring the life of God to us, the oxygen and the sin, the CO2, carbon dioxide, out. It's a constant, constant working within God's economy of grace. It's a wonderful picture of how oxygen works within our bodily system. So when anything surfaces of insensitivity, or sorry, Lord, like the example I gave of the phone call from Stanley Voke. Did you hear that? You know, somebody phoned me up and said, Peter, are you still, or brother, are you still repenting? I resented the question and immediately repented and said, replied to Stanley, yes, Stanley. So we can be very quick, you know, dozens of times a day like this, where, sorry, Lord, forgive me, I yield myself back to you. Where I've been impatient, I yield to you for your patience to be in this situation. Mm-hmm. Give me your patience, your love for X, Y, Z. And that's the way it works. Your gentleness, your kindness, the flow of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So that's why that yieldedness, throne of grace, blood of Jesus, it all works in that kind of way. Wings out, off we go. Now, if you try and step off without your wings out, you've got a problem. Wings out. And learn. We've got L plates. Teach us, Lord. He's a teacher. Teach me how to move in your spirit. And here's our great example of the perfect spirit-filled man. You can almost get excited about this. But it is tremendously important we learn how to do this and learn how to ride the gentle breeze of Jesus and step out. So we will renew our strength, breathing in. We will rise up on wings like eagles. We will run and not grow weary. Like Mo Farah, you could do all those laps around that, you know, course, amazing. And he had the stamina, breathing in and breathing out. He didn't just do that. He didn't learn to run the day before the Olympic Games. He's built it up. We learn, we learn, we learn. Can run and walk and not be faint. They're all verbs of movement. Renewing strength, rising up, running and walking. Amen? But nobody else can do this for us. Mm-hmm. I can't breathe for you. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Nobody else can drink water in your place. Mm-hmm. It's a very personal dependency on those two basic elements for survival, both of which are analogies of the Holy Spirit. John 7:37, rivers of living water. And being born again, the wind blows where it wills in John 3. And the animals, the wind, being animated. That's where we go about animate. Animos, the wind, moved, impelled by the Spirit. Okay? That's it. Got a minute to go. And I'd like to ask you, or appeal to you, to consider this and say, please, Lord, fill me afresh with your Spirit. And please, Lord, teach me in a new way how to move in your Spirit. Because when that bird stops and is waiting and breathing in, it's actually stopped. Stop is not spelled G-O. Lord, here I am. Please fill me afresh. Teach me afresh. Expand my capacity to know you. Come on me afresh tonight. Help me. Just to say, in the book of Acts, where the word the Holy Spirit came on people, people will be afraid of that. Two times, it's exactly the same word that's used in the parable of the prodigal son. Demo. Demo 2, it's exactly the same word, and this is the word in Luke 15. Hey, you're back! Hey, praise the Lord! If he fell on his knee, that's the word the Holy Spirit fell on. It's being embraced by the love of God. We don't need to be afraid. It's twice that's the word that's used. The Holy Spirit fell on, and in Luke 15, the word is actually fell on the neck of his son. That's just what it is. I think. Breathing in, breathing out, I'm going to have some of that. Because it's very gentle and very tender. It's a wonderful tender-heartedness who understands all our quirks and foibles. Hey, Lord, please come. Fall on us afresh, you know. And we talk about, you know, it's like a burning fire, but it's a very gentle glow. In the tabernacle, there was a very gentle glow from the lampstand. It wasn't a massive, great arc light. It was gentle and sweet sense of God's presence and the prayer of the incense, the altar of incense and so on. And the Lord's very good, right? So, brothers and sisters, do you feel ready from the encouragement this evening to come and say, Lord, here I am, please fill me afresh.
Yes.
Teach me afresh. Mm-hmm. This week, each day, yes. To breathe in and learn to continue breathing in and out and moving in you, rising up, and knowing and sharing your love in me and through me. Okay? Forgive me, Lord, where I've not shown that over the years, in the way I should have done, or could have done, as a dad, all the rest of it, but then through repentance and things arise, yeah, thank you, Lord. You've given grace for our family relationships all still to be there. Hallelujah. And I'm just so glad the two boys know the Lord. Still a work in progress, as we all are. All right? God's workmanship.
Yes.
He who began a good work in you might bring it. Will. Philippians 1:6. Look it up. He who began a good work in you, he'll teach us and help us to enable what we talk about. Amen. Praise the Lord. High five. Do you want to give somebody a high five on that one? You don't get asked that question every day in church, do you? Give myself one. All right. So can we just pray? And it's our willingness and yieldedness, really. But I hope you see we can't really not say yes, because it's such a wonderful, it's our life. And there's always more. And he has good things for us. Thank you for all there's been. But today, Lord, you have more. Here I am. Let's just be prayerful, and then Ali will, and the team will lead us. Sovereign Lord, we thank you for your great love for us in Jesus, and your word that encourages us to breathe in and to know you in the way we've seen in the analogy. And Father in heaven, please trust you to meet with every single one of us, to help grow us in a new way in you, to form in us a greater capacity to know you, and enjoy you and serve you and be a blessing to many people, to the praise of your name and to the glory of the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Spend a few moments just coming before our Lord. With open hearts.